If we move to Leviticus chapter 13 as we continue in this strange book of Leviticus. Very strange, but yet one of the most important books for us to understand in the New Testament, the Old Testament, in order to understand the New Testament. It is one of the most quoted books in the Old and the New Testament, and because of that, it's very difficult for you to understand the New Testament without an understanding of the book of Leviticus. And so here we find ourselves tonight in chapter 13, and what we have been seeing here is a progression in a study of sin. In chapter 11, when we studied the clean and the unclean animals, we saw sin and its existence in us and all around us. Last week, as we looked at chapter 12, we saw the transmission of sin. We receive sin through our birth. You can't escape it. We are sinners because we have inherited a sin nature. And now as we come to chapters 13 and 14, we see the vileness of sin and how to deal with it. Now when we get to chapter 15, we're going to see our sin nature and all of its depravity and deformity. Now on the surface of things, in chapters 13 and 14, we are dealing with leprosy. There is no question that leprosy has been the most dreaded and feared disease in all of human history. Now, it doesn't seem very real to those of us who live in the United States of America in the 1990s. The only way in which I can relate that to you is to tell you that leprosy was the AIDS of biblical times, only far worse and far more widespread. It was a terrible disease, and it is dealt with in two chapters in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. In the Bible, there are several notable lepers that are presented. And every time that they are presented as a type of the sinner who needs the healing of God's salvation. And we'll be talking about some of those examples a little bit later on tonight. But we'll begin this evening in Leviticus chapter 13, and let's begin first of all with prayer. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us from sin. And I pray that tonight as we look in this chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus that we would forever keep in our mind the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son. And we praise you tonight for that and thank you for it, all that we've received in him. Grant us understanding, insight. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Now let's take just a moment and discuss the nature of the disease. Now books have been written, very fine books, that discuss leprosy from a medical point of view and drawing analogies to the spiritual realm. A book that was recently published in the last 10 or 15 years or so is a book by Dr. Paul Brandt that is called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. Dr. Brandt, B-R-A-N-D, has devoted his entire life to treating leprosy patients. He was raised as the son of medical missionaries in India, and his entire life has revolved around the treatment of leprosy. And in that particular book, he has some very wonderful insight as to leprosy from a medical point of view and goes into some detail as to the various functions of the human body and what that illustrates for us in the Word of God. I highly recommend it. You perhaps won't agree with everything that he says. That's fine. You probably won't agree with everything that I say either, but it is a good book. And it's always nice to say that because there are so many books written today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I cannot recommend and say, hey, that's a pretty good book. It'd be worth your time to read it. But that's one of them. If you are interested in doing some background study on the nature of leprosy, and other diseases also. He doesn't just deal with leprosy, but he deals with many different aspects of the human body and disease and what that illustrates for us in the Word of God. And from the point of a medical doctor who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, he has some very wonderful things to say. And I think the book would be a blessing to you. And so my purpose tonight is not to go into great detail from a medical point of view. There are different types of leprosy, and there are different situations that need to be taken into account. And not being a medical doctor, that's not my territory. I'll stick to the Bible. Thank you very much. There are more capable individuals who have done a very fine job of the other. But I do know that the thing about leprosy that we need to bear in mind is leprosy is an attack upon the sensory nerves. It destroys one type of cell, your nerve cells. And because of that, it leaves the person without an adequate defense of pain. Pain is one of the most important aspects of your body. If it were not for pain, you would destroy yourself in short order. Pain is what tells you to take your hand out of the fire, dummy. It hurts. It's not supposed to be in there. But a leper who has lost feeling in certain parts of his body many times will allow infection to develop and even go to the point of losing a member, a limb of his body, simply because he doesn't feel the pain that you and I would feel. And because of that, his body has no defenses. Now, in that sense, I suppose you could draw some parallels to AIDS, which leaves your body without an immune system. Now, this is not like that. It is simply the death of your sensory nerves and leaves you without the ability to feel in certain areas and parts of your body. And because of that, many times these body members become so infected that there are lepers who have no fingers and no toes. They may be missing an ear or part of their face or whatever it may be. Their face many times is deformed. Their complexion becomes the texture of gray concrete. And many times there are hideous deformities that the individual suffers because of the disease of leprosy. In biblical times, there was no human cure. Now, all of this is very symbolic in the Word of God. And those of you who have been saved for even a short time have probably figured out what I said earlier, that in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. And there are so many places in the Word of God where you see lepers who are miraculously healed as a picture of the salvation that we have found in Jesus Christ. For example, over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 40 to 41, you have the account of the healing of a leper. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And this is just one example of several in the Gospels of lepers who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke talks about 10 lepers who came to him at one time. Oftentimes, lepers would band together because they were ostracized from the rest of society. And since they could not give the disease to someone who already had it, sometimes for protection and for mutual benefit, they would band together. And on one occasion, 10 lepers came to the Lord Jesus Christ and were healed. Now, 10, of course, is the number of Gentiles in the Word of God. And there is a beautiful picture of the Gentiles who come to the Lord Jesus Christ to find new life in him and to be healed from the disease of sin. And so we need to remember that as we deal with leprosy. You know, there's probably no other place in the Bible outside of Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 that you can learn more about the nature of sin. Now, if you go to Romans chapters 1 to 8, you can understand a great deal about sin. But everything that you find in Romans chapters 1 to 8 that lays down what sin is in a doctrinal sense in the New Testament, you will find illustrated through the disease of leprosy in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. In fact, if you correctly understand Leviticus 13 and 14, then the way this ought to work, it ought to help you more clearly understand the intangible truth of the New Testament. God has illustrated that for you in human physical terms that we can understand. Now, there is another aspect of leprosy and its symbolism in the Word of God that you need to remember. In a doctrinal sense, in a prophetic sense, leprosy points to a visible mark. Leprosy was highly visible. It was obvious when someone had leprosy. And it looks forward to a mark that will be placed upon mankind by the Antichrist that we were talking about this morning. It's called in Revelation chapter 13 the mark of the beast. And so leprosy, in a doctrinal sense, looks forward to that mark of Antichrist that will infect all of humanity. And so when we look at chapters 13 and 14 of Leviticus, please understand what God is doing. He is preparing spiritually the nation of Israel for a time of purification from sin that will take place during the time of tribulation. And so these are very important chapters indeed. Historically, we're dealing with the disease of leprosy, very well documented. From a doctrinal point of view, we look forward to the purification of Israel from the mark of the beast in the time of the tribulation. Devotionally, it is something that can benefit all of our lives as we see in leprosy a picture of human sin and how it is that God wants to cleanse us from that sin. Now, we have just read the first three verses of Leviticus chapter 13. And we can learn here some general truth about leprosy and sin from these verses. And let's just look at this as a way of introduction here. First of all, the priest is the one who is to be on the lookout for leprosy. What we saw here in these three verses that we just looked at is when someone was suspected of developing leprosy, that individual was to be taken immediately to the priest, the high priest, or one of his sons. Now, we know that in a New Testament sense, because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we have all been made priests. And our job is to constantly be on the lookout for sin. That is part of our function as a New Testament priest. Just as the Old Testament priest was the one that was to determine whether sin existed or not, whether leprosy existed or not, then so it is that you and I as New Testament priests are to constantly to be on the lookout for the outbreak of sin in our lives. Now, leprosy, interestingly enough, in these two chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14, is never said to be healed. I want you to think about that for just a second. Leprosy is said to be cleansed, never healed. Now think about that for just a second. Let me explain to you why. You and I, by the blood of Jesus Christ, have been cleansed from our sin. But the sin nature has not been eradicated. It still exists. But we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so leprosy is never said to disappear. It's never said to be healed, but it is said to be cleansed under certain conditions. And we'll talk about those conditions a little bit tonight, but primarily next week. And so it is that we are never healed, we are cleansed from our sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are separated from the power of the sin nature, but that sin nature is never annihilated. We continue to live, as Paul said, in this body of sin, but yet we are free from its power. Very important distinction for you to remember here. Now the priest, according to these verses, was to look for three signs. He was to look for a rising of the skin. We would call that today a boil. He was to look for a scab, probably an indication of what we would call today a tumor. And he was to look for a bright spot in the skin, a little hot spot that would begin in the skin. Perhaps it would then turn into a scab or into a boil. But it would begin with a little bright spot in the skin. And we'll talk about that a little bit later tonight. But the main thing that I want you to see here in verse 3 was the final determination of leprosy. Leprosy was determined if this disease was seen to be more than just skin deep. Look in verse 3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. Tremendous truth about sin. Sin is something that is more than skin deep. It is a part of your very nature. And that's the problem with sin. And that was the determining factor of leprosy. And that's why David said what he said in Psalm 51, verse 5, when he said, "In sin did my mother conceive me," a verse that we studied last week in connection with chapter 12. talking about him being born with his sin nature, something much more than skin deep. Now, at this point, let me just give you a brief outline or summary of leprosy as a picture of sin. First of all, leprosy is an evil that is visible. You can spot someone who has leprosy. Leprosy is visible. Not only that, it is something that is disgusting when seen. If you have ever seen a leper in an advanced stage, you have probably been repulsed by what you have seen. It is not pleasant to look at. The deformity, the texture of the skin and whatnot is not a very pleasing sight at all. And not only that, according to verse 8 here in Leviticus chapter 13, leprosy is diffusive. In other words, it spreads. It begins in a certain part and spreads throughout your body. It is incurable by man, just like sin. All these things, you see, can be said about sin. Sin is something that becomes visible in our lives. Sin is something that is disgusting to look at. Sin spreads. It can begin in just one area of your life, but unless it's dealt with, it will soon spread to other areas. And sin is incurable by human means. You can't do anything about it. Death is the sure end of leprosy. Sooner or later, that individual will die. Same thing is being said today about AIDS. Magic Johnson's press conference. Well, it's just the HIV virus is all I've got, folks. Don't have AIDS, but all the doctors say you will, and you will die. That was leprosy. In fact, leprosy patients also often live a very long time. They could live decades, but they would die of the disease. They would die. Kind of like sin. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the wages of death. Death is the sure end. Victims often live long lives with relatively little pain, but the sure end is death. You know what? You don't need God to make it through this life if you're going to die. You will die. And you can put that sin out of your mind and not let it bother you. You can let your conscience be seared, and you can live a long life with relatively little pain, but you will die. There's no way that you can avoid it. You see, that's the way sin is. Leprosy was contagious. So was sin. You run with somebody who's a sinner, it'll rub off. Leprosy affected all classes of men. Even King Uzziah was a leper. And that's the way sin is. Sin knows no social boundaries. Sin exists in the upper class, the middle class, and the lower class, and everything in between. Even though it begins small, it sooner or later affects the entire man. That's the way sin is. It can begin very small, but it will sooner or later affect every area of your life. And you know what happens? The more the disease progresses, the more insensitive to touch the person becomes. That's the way sin is. That's what Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:2 when he talked about those who have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. And that's what Paul talked about to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:19 when he talked about those unsaved who are past feeling. You see, a leper gets to that point to where he's past feeling. And the more advanced the disease becomes, the less sensitive the individual is. And that's the way it is with sin. Hey, listen, I can take you right here in Kansas City, introduce you to some sinners who've been practicing sin for a good number of years now, and they have become so good at it that they're insensitive. Folks, there's people in this town that can blow your head off and never even blink. Because they've lost all feeling. They're past feeling. You say, how could somebody do that? Very easy. You just allow sin to continue unchecked. Give yourself to it, and your conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. And whoever you are, whatever your upbringing is, you are capable of any sin ever committed by a human being. Now, begin in verse 4 with me, and I want you to see what they did when it was suspected that someone had leprosy. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, Then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. And the priest shall look on him the seventh day. And behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day. And behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. Now when leprosy was suspected, but not yet evident, whether it was more than skin deep, the individual was to be shut up for 7 days. Now you see, like sin, leprosy often began as nothing more than a bright spot in the skin. You come home one day and you find out that your spouse has a bright spot that has risen up in the skin. First thing you do is you take him to the priest. And then for 7 days, that individual is isolated, shut up, to see if it spreads. If it does, it's leprosy. If it doesn't, then it's something else. Interesting concept. Begins as a bright spot, kind of like sin. Sin begins as a bright spot. Hebrews 11:25 talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. It begins as a bright spot, but it'll kill you. You know, leprosy is like sin. It doesn't appear evident at first. Well, we were all so moved and impressed this last week as Magic Johnson made his tragic announcement. Here's a guy who one day is amazing the entire nation with his feet on the basketball court, doing things that nobody's ever dreamed of doing. And overnight, he announces he's retiring from basketball because he has the HIV virus. What a tragedy. But what you need to realize is that virus had been in him for some time. It did not just come on him and zap overnight, he's gone. That thing had been incubating within him for a long time. Who knows how long? And folks, that's the way sin is. A little baby is born and you hold that little baby all chubby and pink, gurgling and googling and what a precious little thing. But inside that precious little pink bundle is a disease that is incubating. And by the time that little child is just a couple of years old, it will be very evident to you, to everyone around, that little baby is born with a sin nature just like everyone else. Not apparent at first, but it's there. And so when a person was suspected of having leprosy, he would be shut up for a time. 7 days. You know what God's done? He has shut up this world. He has isolated us from the rest of the universe for 7,000 years because of the disease. He has shut us up. And God will again shut up Israel for 7 years of tribulation to specifically deal with the sin of that nation. In fact, if this Hebrew phrase were translated into Greek, let me show you where it appears in the New Testament. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. Romans chapter 11 and verse 32. I'm sorry, I lied to you. Look in Galatians 3:22, or 3:23 rather. Galatians 3:23. I read the wrong reference. We'll just begin in verse 22, because this phrase really appears in both verses here, 22 and 23. But the scripture hath concluded, there's that phrase, hath concluded, hath determined, hath shut up, sealed the matter, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up. Isn't it interesting that it would use that phrase, shut up? Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Well, pay attention to the words and phrases of Scripture there. They are the key to understanding this book. You see what God's done? He's incubated us. He shut us up that sin might appear as sin. Sometimes people say, well, why doesn't God just get this thing over with? I mean, Adam blew it all these thousands of years ago, and why didn't God just zap us and, you know, make a new race or whatever he wants to do? Why has God gone through this 7,000-year cycle that he's going through? Well, he tells you why in the book of Leviticus chapter 13. Because he wants sin to appear as sin. Look in Romans chapter 7, verse 9. Romans chapter 7 and verse 9. Paul says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Now look at this. God forbid. Look. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. You see what God's done? You know why that is, folks? Because you can't be saved until you realize that you're a sinner. How is God going to save you when you will not recognize your problem? I'm sure medical doctors face this frustration. People who are sick but don't want to admit it and won't go see the doctor. Very difficult for a doctor to help you when you will not admit your problem. And by the same token, God cannot help you until you recognize sin for what it is. And so the leper was shut up for a period of isolation, that disease, if it was really there, might appear for what it was. And so it is God, in his patience and long-suffering and mercy, has allowed us to kick around on this planet for a while in order that we might understand the problem. Now, we've been trying to beautify this planet for the last 7,000 years. We've really not done a very good job of it. And we still have the same problems that we had when it all began. Man has not been able to usher in a brave new world or a bright new age or the age of Aquarius or anything like that. The only thing that these last several thousand years have proved is that man is still a sinner. That's what leprosy is all about. Now, verse 9 says this, Leviticus 13, 9. What happens when we know that this is a leprosy? Okay, we've taken this man, we've shut him up for 7 days, we've seen whether it is or is not. It says, when the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick, raw flesh in the rising. In other words, live, raw flesh in the rising, in that boil. Open, festering wound, in other words. What does he say? It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh. And the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. No need. No need to shut him up. The sin is obvious. The leprosy is obvious. It is an old leprosy. Now the priest was to look for certain telltale signs. He was to look for white hair in the boil. The reason he was to look for white hair is because the white hair would indicate that there was a problem in the blood. And that indeed is where our problem comes from. There is a problem in the blood. And this was the sign that what they were dealing with was far more than just skin deep. This was not just some little irritation on the surface of the skin. If the hair in the problem was white, it indicated that there was something going on beneath the surface that was just as bad. There was a problem in the blood. You know, Jesus said that in Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, when he said, all of these evil things that we see men do, what did he say? They come from the heart. What does the heart do? It pumps blood. And that's where our problem lies. We've got a bad heart. We have bad blood. There's sin in our nature, in other words. He was also to look for the raw flesh. Live, raw flesh. I hope you all ate before you came. You won't be too hungry, I think, when you leave. But you know, God has given us the ability as New Testament priests to look for outbreaks of live, raw flesh. And that's what we should be doing as believers in Jesus Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. We always look at verses 22 and 23, but once in a while we need to look at verses 19 to 21. They are just as important. Because here in verse 19, Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Live, raw flesh. Be on the lookout for it. It will get you every time and is the indication of a problem that is much more than just skin deep. And all of this indicated the presence of an old leprosy. In other words, even though it had just begun to manifest itself in the flesh, it had been at work in the individual for a long time. That disease had been festering and incubating within the body for a long time, just as sin has been at work within us all along, even before it became evident and obvious to everyone around us. Every time you see somebody just totally go down in flames in their spiritual life, and say, "Oh man, it just all of a sudden seems like it happened to him or her." No, it didn't happen all of a sudden. It had been festering for a long time, and just all of a sudden became evident and obvious to everyone else. You see, folks, that's how it begins. It begins when you stop reading the Word of God. It begins when you stop talking to the Lord in prayer. It begins when you stop sharing your faith with others because you become too busy doing other things. And that thing just begins to fester, begins to incubate. And that disease, it spreads, folks. It spreads. It's running beneath the skin. It's more than skin deep. And you yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to the control of your flesh, even though you can still put on a good act, even though you're still in Sunday school like a good boy and a good girl every Sunday, dropping in your tithe and offering and going through discipleship lessons and all of that, inside of you is a disease that is festering, and one day it's going to break out in the open, just like leprosy. And the priest who looks at that can say, "It's an old leprosy. It's an old leprosy. It's been there all along beneath the surface. The problem is an old leprosy." By the time that thing becomes visible to everybody, you know that it's been there festering for a long time. Now, then a most remarkable statement. This thing is absolutely incredible. Now, you can't understand this unless you understand the New Testament. Now look at it, verse 12. This is incredible. "And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh." Now get the picture. Here is someone who is totally covered with the disease, from head to foot. This thing has totally eaten them up. "Then the priest shall consent. And behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean." Is that a misprint? Have our translators botched their basic Hebrew? What is going on here? Folks, unless you understand the picture that God is painting here, unless you understand the picture, you couldn't possibly understand that. Figure that out. Now, this is a dangerous disease. It's going to kill you. It spreads. It's contagious. And what do you do if somebody is totally covered with leprosy? You pronounce them clean. Now that is exactly the picture that God paints in Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to look there. Isaiah chapter 1. I promise you this is the image that God has in his mind as he has Isaiah pen these words in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5. He says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. For from the sole of the foot even into the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. The picture is of someone who is totally eaten up with leprosy. Why would God have the priest pronounce such an individual clean? Because finally that individual comes to recognize what Paul said in Romans 7 verse 17, when he said, but I see that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And there is no way for you to be cleansed from sin until you realize what it is. And until sin has run its full course in your life and you understand what sin is, only then can you appreciate the words of God in Isaiah 1:18 when he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, putrefying sores, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And again we see God's wisdom in shutting up an individual until the leprosy is clearly evident to all and eats him up totally. Because only when you recognize the full extent of sin can you deal with it. And can you be cleansed from it. That's why in Genesis 15:16, God told Abraham that he wasn't going to give him all of the land yet because the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. God said, it's there. It's festering. It's boiling up within them. But we're going to wait until it's full. And then we're going to move. You know something, friend? As long as all you want to do is reform your life and go through a self-improvement program, you can forget about turning to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ can't do anything to help you until you realize that you are totally miserable, worthless, and helpless. When you come to that point in your life, you're at the best spot you could possibly be. That's when God can help you and pronounce you clean. When that sin has just totally eaten up. If you're one of these people that says, well, I think I'll go to church because it makes me feel better. And I know I've got some little faults in my life that I need to work on. And I'll just let God just chip away. Well, you can go ahead and play your game. But God needs to shut you up and let that sin run its full course until you realize that there is no soundness in you from the head of your head to all the way down to the soles of your feet until you realize, as Paul said, that in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when you come to that point, then the priest can say, you can be clean. You can be clean. My, my, what a picture we have here. Now look in verse 14. When the plague breaks out again, the person becomes unclean. Now, you see, here's a man who's been covered from head to toe with the plague. But now he's white and pronounced clean. But what the priest does, it says in verse 14, but when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the flesh turn raw again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague, he is clean. Now you see, even though we have been cleansed from our sin, we still have that sin nature. That's why I told you a minute ago that leprosy is never said to be healed, it's only said to be cleansed, because you've still got that sin nature. And Paul said in Romans 6 that you can yield your body members as instruments of righteousness to God, or you can yield them as instruments of unrighteousness unto your flesh. And so even though you have been saved and born again, that plague can still break out in your flesh at any moment. And you need to be on the lookout for it at all times. Well, what a picture God paints for us here. Don't you think that just because you walk down an aisle and somebody takes you to the side and takes out a Bible and leads you in a prayer to accept Christ as your Savior, don't you think that you're done with sin? Because you're going to have to be on the lookout for that thing. Hey, listen, he can pronounce you clean because you finally come to the point in your life where you've recognized, hey, I can't do anything on my own. I'm worthless. I'm a sinner. Praise God. You can be cleansed. But once you have been cleansed, then you need to be on the lookout every moment for new outbreaks of the plague. You need to be on the lookout for every time that raw flesh appears. And surrender that to the hand of the great physician so that it can become white again and you be clean. We're not dealing with the issue of salvation or loss of it, but we're learning how to deal with our sin nature, folks. That's what this is a picture of. Now, again, the priest is to be continually on the lookout for new outbreaks of this plague. Look with me in verse 18. Now, this is a rather lengthy passage, and I'm not going to read all of this. There's all types of different conditions mentioned here, but it says in verse 18, the flesh also, in which even in the skin thereof was a boil and is healed, and in the place of a boil there be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest, and if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, in other words, more than skin deep, and the hair thereof be turned white, a problem with the blood, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Now, we could go on and read through verse 44 and see all the different types of condition. All of that has its symbolism and its meaning. All of it very important, but yet my purpose tonight is just to give you a broad idea of what this chapter is about. You can work through some of the rest of that on your own, but I want you to see that the main thing that we're learning here is that priest was to be continually on the lookout for new outbreaks of the plague. And don't you see that's what Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 are all about? In Romans chapter 5, man is pronounced clean after spending chapters 1, 2, and 3 showing that we are all under the condemnation of sin. In chapters 4 and 5, Paul shows us how God has justified us through what Jesus Christ does. And then in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But then you know what chapters 6, 7, and 8 are all about? How to deal with the continued outbreaks of sin in your life. How to get the victory. How to live the victorious Christian life. How to recognize that even though your sin has been pardoned, you still have a sin nature to be reckoned with until Jesus comes again and your very flesh is redeemed. But right now, you've got a sin nature to deal with. And as a New Testament priest, you have to continually be on the lookout for new outbreaks of that plague. Now that's the whole point of what God was doing with the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. There is where he told the church in Ephesus that they had left their first love, a boil had appeared. Oh, hey, that was a great church. They had all types of activities and ministry. Man, they were doing great. But there was a boil that was appearing. They'd left their first love. You know what God's going to do? He's going to shut them up for 7 years. 7 years of tribulation. We're going to see if it's deeper than skin deep. That's why he said to repent. That's why he wanted to see if the hair turned white or not in the boil. He wanted to see just exactly what was going on. That's what God does with the trials in our lives. He wants to manifest whether or not the flesh has been dealt with. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31 that he died daily. Because you see, friend, that's the only way that you can control this plague within you, and that is to die to self daily. And to keep this flesh under the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever you let the flesh come out from under the blood of Jesus Christ, it's going to start rising up, boiling, scabbing. The flesh is going to break out. It's got to be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody wants to take the blood out of the Bible today. Want to take the blood out of our songs today. You know what happens when you take the blood away? The flesh boils up. Sin comes out. Nothing wrong with the old-fashioned gospel about the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed ever of the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ, as we're going to see next week in chapter 14, is exactly what cleanses you from your leprosy of sin. When you come out from underneath the blood, my friend, that flesh boils up and you got problems. Now look at verse 45. I want you to see the condition of someone who has been confirmed to have leprosy. Verse 45, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn. In other words, sin now is exposed. It becomes apparent in our walk. You can tell just by looking at him from afar, hey, he is a leper. You allow sin to go unchecked in your life, and it will affect your walk. Then it says, verse 45, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare. His head exposed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says the head of every man is Christ. And now it's revealed that here's a man who is not in submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. His head is laid bare. And then it says his upper lip is to be covered. It says he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. Now look at that covering upon his upper lip. He is to shut his mouth. Notice the wording of Romans 3:19 when it talks about our sin. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 is where Paul says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. His mouth is stopped and he cries, unclean, unclean, in the same way that you and I are to openly confess our sin. You know what? That's why some of you never get victory over sin. That's why you don't live the victorious Christian life, because you won't let anybody help you and you won't openly deal with it. You sit here week after week after week and you've got problems in your life and things that are eating away at you just like a leprosy beneath your skin. You've been saved, you've been born again, you know that, there's no doubt about it, but yet you can't figure out why it is that this plague keeps breaking out in your flesh. You can't figure out why it is that just about the time you think you're all white as snow, all of a sudden you look down and here's some boil coming up, some scab over here, some putrefying wound, and you're trying to put salve on it, you're trying to cover that thing up. And so every time you come to a service, you get under conviction, and you sit there in your seat right there, and you say, oh, Lord, this time is going to be different, and Lord, I'm not going to do this and all that. But you know what the problem is? Your mouth has not been stopped, and you've not come to the point of just confessing your sin and just coming down and getting before God and saying, God, forgive me. And you sit there, and you try to work through this thing intellectually. Oh, yeah, that's what I need to know. Yeah, that's what I need to know. And you never reach the point of brokenness in your life. And that's why you don't have victory. Because you never reach the point of brokenness. For your mouth is stopped and your lips confess, unclean, unclean. You know what the real problem is, don't you? The same old problem we wrestle with all the time, pride. Oh, and I don't want to do that because somebody might know that I had a problem in my life. Join the club. Anybody doesn't have a problem in their life, you preach next Sunday night, okay? But how it costs us to say unclean, unclean. Man has no hope of dealing with sin until he recognizes it for what it is, unclean. And his condition separates him from fellowship with man and God, because it says here in verse 46, all the days when the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean, he shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. That's where Jesus was crucified, was it not? Without the gate, outside the camp. He took our plague upon himself and died for us without the camp, alone. The one who cried and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because he took our plague upon him, the plague of sin. He became sin for us. But you see, friend, when you let sin rule and reign in your life, it will separate you from fellowship with God and man every time. Now look in verse 46. Leprosy and the garments.
the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof or linen or of woolen, whether in a skin or in anything made of skin, and if the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment, or in the skin, either in the warp or in the woof or anything in skin, it is a plague of leprosy, and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague, and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. And he shall look on the plague on the seventh day, if the plague be spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof or in the skin or any work that is made of skin. The plague is a fretting leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment, whether warp or woof, in woolen or in linen or in anything of skin, whether wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And if the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof or in the thing of skin, then the priest shall command they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days more. Now it goes on to the end of the chapter dealing with that, but the point that I wanted you to see we have just read. Now we're not talking about our sin now, but we're talking about the consequence of our sin and the things that surround us. Now here's the thing, folks. You contaminate what you touch with your sin. The things that surround us become affected. Instead of having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have put on the old man and the filthy rags of sin. Look in Jude, verse 23, next to the last book in your Bible, the little book of Jude, verse 26. Look how Jude tells us to deal with sin in these last days. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Look if you will in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Only one solution for those things that have been tainted with sin. And you find that in verse 52 of Leviticus 13. It shall be burnt in the fire. And it's the same thing that you see in the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15, as Paul talks about that same condition in our lives, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Why is it burned? Because he's not built upon the Lord, he's built upon wood, hay, and stubble. You know the reason why others of you can't get a victorious Christian life? It's because you're still walking around in things that are tainted with sin. And there are certain things in your life. Sometimes even possessions that we have, they become like an idol to us. Things in our lives that we have allowed to become infected with the plague of sin. And God says there's only one way to deal with it. Get rid of it. It's going to be burned up one day anyway. I mean, that's the way God's going to deal with it in the final chapter. You don't have to do that. He'll do a very good job of that. Thank you very much. It's all going to burn up. Whatever is not done for Jesus Christ, friends, is going up in smoke. And some of you can't get the victory because you won't turn loose. And you hold on and hold on and hold on and hold on. Instead of just saying, here, God, you take it and deal with it. Sin's a deceptive thing, isn't it? And sometimes we play around with it. And sometimes we think that we can outsmart it. Sometimes we think that we can train it. Sometimes we think we can hide it and cover it up. Sometimes we think it'll just get better, but it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? That's the way leprosy is. And it gets to the point where you can't hide it. You can't cover it up. There's no makeup job in the world that disguises a leper. And you have to just come to the point where your mouth is stopped except to say, unclean, unclean. And anything in your life that you've allowed to come between you and God to take that thing out, just to give it to Him. You know, some of you here tonight, you can have a victorious Christian life. if you just make up your mind tonight to do just that, and to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to fight this thing. I've been trying to ignore it. I've been trying to say it's not as bad as it is. And tonight what I want to do is I just want to come down to this altar and I just want to say, God, here it is. It's unclean. I want you to have it. Whether it's sin in your life, your sin nature that you're dealing with, whether it's something in your life, something that surrounds you, whatever it may be, to get the victory tonight, it's by saying, God, it all belongs to you. The only way you're going to deal with leprosy, if you can ignore it, it'll kill you. Not dealing with your salvation. We're dealing with your life and your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You were born a leper. The blood of Jesus Christ has made you clean. But when you allow it, that plague will erupt in your life. It will boil up and fester. It will putrefy. And it will eat you up unless it is biblically dealt with. And that's the whole purpose of Leviticus chapter 13. But you know, some people have never been cleansed. And the problem with sin is that Paul says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, he says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The book of Romans also tells us that the wages of sin is death. It also tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's because of that that if you realize tonight that the real problem in your life is not that you need to get religious or go to church. The real problem is you've got a sin nature that needs to be dealt with. Then I would invite you tonight to come to Jesus and be saved. And let the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse you from sin. And give you the assurance and the security of life everlasting. Had several people do that very thing this morning, last week, and it seems like this almost every day in some activity or ministry of this church, somebody is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it could be that tonight God brought you here for some reason. Maybe you're not even aware of that. You just thought somebody was being nice and inviting you, and you came and heard somebody talk about sin in a way that maybe you've never heard before and realized that you've got a problem. Not only do you have a problem, I've got your solution. It's called Jesus Christ. It's found right here in the Bible. And all you've got to do is just come to Him and realize that without Him, you have no hope. You have the hope of an eternal hell, separation from God. But in Jesus Christ, you've got forgiveness. You've got everlasting life, cleansing from sin. And all you've got to do is say yes to God. Yeah, it is that simple. You just simply have to say yes to God. It's like somebody who puts it off and finally says, well, I think I'm going to go see the doctor. Do something about it. You go to the doctor and didn't realize it was that simple. You mean, doc, all I got to do is get this shot and it'll go away? Right. Why didn't I come weeks ago? No. That's kind of like it is to be saved. It is that simple. Not easy, but it's not complicated. It's just coming to the end of self and saying, yep, it's all over, isn't it? It's all over me, and I can't hide it anymore. And I'm going to go to the great physician and let him cleanse me with his blood. Let's pray.